With the help of a $179,000 grant from the Law Foundation of Ontario, the Kingston Native Centre and Language Nest will be embarking on a number of projects in partnership with Queen's Law and Queen's Law Clinics in the near future. The Kingston Native Centre and Language Nest, located at 610 Montreal Street, is a provincially funded Indigenous Friendship Centre. The centre provides culturally grounded programs and services to members of the Indigenous community. According to a release from the centre, they have been in the process of building a relationship with Queen's Law over the past year and a half, and this grant will go towards research on wise practices for Indigenous legal services, justice support, legal education, and the resurgence of Indigenous laws in Kingston. Along with, quote, formalizing the relationship between the centre and Queen's Law, the grant also marks the first step to establishing an Indigenous legal clinic in Kingston. Constance Carrier-Prill, Director of Strategic Development with the Kingston Native Centre and Language Nest and third-year law student at Queen's, visited CFRC on Monday to share more about what's next for the Kingston Native Centre and Language Nest and Queen's Law. I was wondering if you could speak about this growing relationship between Queen's Law and the Kingston Native Centre and Language Nest that's been happening over the last year and a half.
Yeah, so it's very exciting. Just after my first year at Queen's Law, the vision sort of really grew out of seeing community needs. So I was the executive director of the Kingston Native Centre Language Nest at the time, and just working with the local community on a regular basis and seeing some of the issues that people in the community face, it was clear to me that there was a gap in Indigenous legal services in this area. And folks would come and with a number of different issues in different areas and say, is there, you know, a lawyer that works with Indigenous clients, someone that people can trust? And it was often difficult to know who to refer people to outside of some of the bigger names like Aboriginal Legal Services in Toronto. I met with a professor after the first year, Professor Lindsay Burrows, who is at Queen's Law, and said, we need to create something. Is, you know, could we create an Indigenous legal clinic? And luckily, she said, absolutely, let's do this. Let's figure this out. And so from that lunch sort of grew this vision for what could we grow here and how could the law school partner to help create what we needed to serve the local community. And so quickly brought on board the Queen's Law Clinics, who, of course, are funded through Queen's Law. And absolutely everybody from the dean down right off the bat was incredibly excited to participate and said, how can I help? And let us know what you need. And so from there, now here we are today with our first step funding.
Yeah, and getting into that funding, it's going to allow for, I believe, two big things to happen in the next few months. Let's start off with the research aspect. What kind of research will the Native Centre be doing with Queen's Law?
Absolutely. We actually just had a research meeting with our new research team right before this interview. So what we really want to do is make sure that what we grow can withstand the test of time, something that will have long-term sustainability. And so we want to make sure it has really good, solid foundations. And that's why we want to start with research, is really researching what is out there. What we are trying to do here is something other communities have done and are doing really well. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. So it's really based on what are the best practices, wise practices of other communities who are providing this kind of legal service. And so we've based our vision, our clinic model on the medicine wheel and really looking after the whole person. And so we're going to have four areas of research. One will be focusing on what existing legal services work best with providing for local urban Indigenous communities. We will be looking at what kind of justice supports may be needed in this area, things like court workers or Gladue writers or victim services or aftercare services. We'll also be looking at Indigenous legal education. And then the last part will be looking at the resurgence of Indigenous law. And so we have four researchers now on our research team as of this week. And every one of those researchers will be focusing on a different area. And then we'll be collating all of that later this year to come with a final research paper about what we believe are the wise practices that will best suit our local community needs here.
Mm-hmm. And this funding also marks the first step towards establishing an Indigenous legal clinic in Kingston. I was wondering if you could dive into this project as well.
So this is, we see the research is foundational to creating our business plan for the legal clinic. And so from that research will come a business plan and a funding plan and what's best needed. But in the meantime, you know, it takes time to build to that point where we have a full legal clinic that can provide these services. So we want to make sure that there's access to justice while we're doing this work. And so we thought the best way to do that is through an articling student in September. So what that student's role will be is providing direct legal services under the supervision of the Queen's Law Clinics, who provide a number of different areas of law, but really building that relationship with the Indigenous client base in Kingston. There is a lot of apprehension about using existing justice services, and rightfully so, given the colonial legacy, especially how the law has been used with and against Indigenous people. And so really the articling student's role will be, you know, being at the center, getting to know the clients, building that trust, building that relationship between the clients and the law and the legal services we can provide, and then providing that direct access legal services, whether that's directly with the articling student or, if need be, connecting them with some of the legal aid clinics that we have in the area, but in a supportive and culturally informed environment.
Mm-hmm. And then in the future, you're looking towards opening a full legal clinic for these
Absolutely.
Services?
Absolutely. So, like I said, we think like these are steps that will build off each other. So having our research done, from that research, we'll be able to create our business plan under this grant, start providing legal services. And then our next step after that, our hope is to actually be able to open our own doors to a clinic. And just getting to see in the next year what exactly that's going to look like is going to be very exciting.
Mm-hmm. And you started off mentioning the gap that this research and the legal clinic would be filling here in Kingston. I was wondering if you could speak a bit more to what that gap is and what that looks like and what services people are missing right now.
So in Kingston, I think according to the last census, the numbers we think are underreported. I think the census reported maybe just under 6,000 people in Kingston who self-identify as Indigenous. We think those numbers are much higher, more than 10,000. And so there's a huge population of people who live here in Kingston who are Indigenous. And we know, of course, Indigenous people are overrepresented in certain parts of the legal system. So the criminal justice system, significant overrepresentation. I think we have between 50 and 60% of incarcerated women are Indigenous and over 30% of incarcerated men. And so huge overrepresentation in the criminal justice system. There's also tremendous overrepresentation in the child welfare system as well, and in some other areas of the law. Of course, Indigenous people engage with every area of the law, just like non-Indigenous people. So they need elder law supports with wills and estates and, you know, family law and civil law and small claims and landlord-tenant is a big issue that we see. So, you know, all of the sort of the things that other people face in terms of coming into contact with the law, but then also recognizing in some of those spaces, it's significantly more. And so that's where the gap is. The gap is anywhere you have an Indigenous person who's interacting with the law and being able to interact it in a way that's culturally safe, it's culturally responsive, but also in a way that meets their needs and considers their unique needs. So we're looking at being able to create that, and it'll take some time, but we're off to a good start with this grant.
Yeah. And you sort of listed where that gap is. I was wondering if you could just speak to the importance of their like indigeneity being acknowledged in that space, as opposed to just going to any other lawyer or any other law clinic to seek these services.
I think that's a good way to sort of introduce the concept of Indigenous law. And, you know, the Supreme Court of Canada has recognized that we're not just a bi-jural state that has two legal traditions, which we normally think of as the common law and the civil law, but that we are a multi-jural state. And the Supreme Court said that because there are Indigenous laws that live here. There are Indigenous legal traditions that live here on this land. You know, we think of, we know this is traditional territory, the Haudenosaunee and the Anishinaabe. And so, you know, what are Haudenosaunee laws around elder laws? What are Haudenosaunee laws around child well-being and family law? You know, every community has their own legal traditions, their own laws. And so, you know, if a practitioner is serving a client, you know, say that's in the elder law clinic or the family law clinic, and the client is Indigenous, just being able to have that conversation and understand from your client what legal traditions are actually important to them, and then being able to ensure that those are considered in the case and as things move forward and not forgotten about. And I think there are a lot of legal actors in the legal community and in the judiciary who are doing, who are very aware and really doing a lot of good work around making sure that these things are recognized, but we still have a long way to go. And so if our clinic can be part of helping ensure Indigenous laws are advanced and Indigenous legal supports are put in place for community members, then we consider that a really good step of being able to start to meet that gap.
Mm-hmm. And I know you'll be diving into research on this in the coming months, but I was wondering if you had any examples of where this would be especially relevant to kind of paint a picture of what this research and what the legal clinic could do.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the criminal justice space is a good example. So in many Indigenous communities, for example, when we think of, you know, Western criminal law, you know, the goal is deterrence and punishment and this kind of thing, right? I mean, we have different reasons for sentencing and for having, you know, people be held accountable for their actions. In Indigenous communities, there are, you know, some overlapping and similar principles, but also principles really around community and around restoring relationships, around making things right, right? Or something like that. So, you know, you see these kind of, and I don't want to say that in a way that is pan-Indigenous, because every community is unique and will have their own laws. But communities lived here for thousands of years with their own legal traditions before, you know, British law was brought here, for example. So communities have their own distinct ways of navigating interpersonal relationships, navigating conflict, making sure there's restitution and keeping communities safe and all of these kind of things. And so you see a lot of justice spaces that do start to, are starting to recognize and really work with Indigenous laws. For example, the Tindinega has the Indigenous Justice Circle in Belleville. And so if a person has charges and they go through that process, you know, there's an elder, a knowledge keeper from the community who's there, the laws of the community are discussed. What laws were breached from that community are discussed, and the laws of that community for making things right are discussed. And so, you know, when you think about how systems can work together and make sure they work together to respect that person's legal traditions, I think there's a lot that is being done that is really incredible work. And we want to make sure that any Indigenous client who goes through any legal system feels like they're speaking to somebody who understands. They may have unique needs, or they may have different things that they want to apply to their case, and that practitioners have what they need to be able to support their client through that.
Once again, that was Constance Carrier-Prill with the Kingston Native Center and Language Nest on upcoming projects in partnership with Queen's Law. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.